This is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Lots going on today. Into a dome opening up in Inglewood. $2 billion for that. Joe Biden wants to cut the drug prices. L.A. woman held in Russia sentenced. But first, the breaking news today and the death of Matthew Perry.
10 o'clock this morning, we're going to learn more about arrests made in connection with Matthew Perry's death. A U.S. attorney, DEA, the Postal Service, and LAPD, they've been on this case for months. They're going to hold this news conference coming up in a few hours. U.S. attorney and other law enforcement planning to announce a court filings related to a high-profile matter. That's what they called it. This is the Matthew Perry case. He drowned in a hot tub at his home in the Palisades last year. He passed out from a dose of ketamine. So again, keep it right here for the latest. 10 o'clock on that news conference. We'll have more as well online, knxnews.com.
There is a Russian-U.S. dual citizen who lived here in L.A., local ballerina, spa worker out of Beverly Hills. We've told you a lot about this case. She donated $50 to a charity. Russian said she was supporting Ukraine doing that. Now she's been sentenced there in Russia to 12 years. Her boyfriend telling CBS Mornings he is in shock.
I woke up to the news this morning, so I'm still sitting here processing what is happening. How did I end up here? How did Ksenia end up here? She's an American citizen that made a $51.80 donation as an American citizen in Los Angeles, exercising her First Amendment rights. She has done nothing wrong.
Was fined there in Russia at over $3,000. I'd admit, yeah, I did it. But again, $51. Her sentencing, latest in a series of Americans being detained in Russia. Earlier this month, there was the big prisoner swap for Americans, including Evan Gerskovich.
In a matter of hours, Intuit Dome will be opening in Inglewood. Big night, Bruno Mars, the first of two sold-out shows. And then it's going to be the home of the LA Clippers. Let's get more live from the scene and our Craig Figner.
Yeah, good morning, Vicky. Even though we understand Bruno Mars takes the stage scheduled at 8 o'clock for the first of two nights, this will, of course, yeah, like you say, be the home of the Clippers. I think their first game is going to be in October. But what's really remarkable here is the fact that this is so high-tech. And I don't know, Mike, if you're into video games, but how would you like to play a video game while, say, you're waiting for a show or a game, like a basketball game, with like 18,000 of your best friends?
We actually put power to every single seat. So if you show up, you've come from a long day at work, or for some reason you were taking 100 selfies outside and your battery is now drained, you can actually get to your seat and there's actually power there. And if you forgot your power cord at home, you don't have to worry about it. We actually sell them for $5 in our concession stand, so you'll be able to grab one from there and make sure that you can power up your phone. The other great thing is that once we put power into the seat, we were like, what else could you do with the seat, right? My favorite feature, which is buttons, that actually allow you to interact with our Halo board and really elevate the experience to the next level.
What does that mean?
It means that you could possibly have a game on the Halo and you'll be able to use the buttons to interact with what's happening on the Halo and get real-time results.
With everybody in the stadium?
That's exactly it.
That's like mind-blowing, because isn't this 18,000 people?
That's correct. And we wanted to make sure that when you came here, your experience was completely different than any other venue you've ever been to.
Yeah, well, another way it'll be completely different is that it's cashless. You have to download an app and then show it your picture. And then they got cameras everywhere that'll recognize your face. You just walk up, get what you want from a restaurant or get a souvenir, walk away. It'll charge your credit card. If you don't want to do that, you can download another app without your picture, put it on your phone with your payment information, and then tap and pay. But don't bring money here. Your money, Mike and Vicky, it is no good here.
Don't bring money and don't mess up when all the 18,000 eyes are on you when you're playing the video game on the big screen. All right, Craig Figner there at the Intuit Dome. Football season, college football. Art Sanders says USC and UCLA benefiting already from joining the Big Ten.
Season ticket sales nationwide have jumped 42% compared to last year. StubHub's Adam Bedelli says they found the Big Ten is seeing the most growth, and after making the move to their new conference, USC sales are up 7 times year over year.
That's comparing the same time frame if you look at 23 as we are now in 24, and a lot of that is driven, you know, new opponents, a lot of excitement. So this year, USC has 6 home games and currently is with the preseason AP polls out. 2 of those opponents are ranked currently in the top 10. Obviously, Penn State at number 8 and Notre Dame at 7. But other huge fan bases such as Nebraska and Wisconsin making their first Big Ten appearance out at the Coliseum is certainly driving their sales overall.
UCLA is also seeing phenomenal ticket sales growth 6 times over last year, with their schedule benefiting from having number 3 Oregon visiting early in the season. The USC Trojans, by the way, ranked first on StubHub's most in-demand single matchup this season. That's the Vegas Kickoff Classic, where USC will take on LSU at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas on September 1st. I'm Art Sanders, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
20 minutes of nonstop news presented by LoanExchange.com for all your home loan needs.
So yeah, Donald Trump back on the campaign trail holding a rally in Asheville, North Carolina. And we talked about it this morning with CBS News campaign reporter Olivia Rinaldi. She was at that event.
The way I've seen this put a couple times now is that he had a big speech on the economy there in North Carolina, but a rally broke out. All the complaints, all the anger, all the attacks. You know, she can't debate. She's not smart enough, all this stuff. So I wonder, when you talk to people in the campaign, is there any frustration at this point, even if they don't really admit to it, but you can sense it? Because it's run by some real pros. I mean, they're really good at what they do, but he can't seem to actually push out the message. He's defaulting to what he usually does.
Yeah, Mike, they're not exactly willing to tell us directly about the frustration, perhaps internally. I will say that the frustration I've noted is coming from the campaign outwardly towards the media, attacking the media over the way we've been covering Vice President Kamala Harris. And, you know, she's in a bit of a honeymoon with voters. She's rising in the polls. But back to the point of this speech yesterday, the whole goal was to refocus on policy, to talk about the economy, high prices, inflation. Even though inflation is trending down, you know, Americans are still stuck with these really stubborn high prices. So that was the goal. But you're right, it did kind of devolve into a typical Trump rally, a grievance-laden speech. You know, even at one point, Trump seemed to joke about the speech he was making, saying, "We're going to make an intellectual speech today. We're all going to be intellectuals." That, to me, spelled some frustration over, you know, having to really bear down and talk specifically about the economy. He also made a comment where he said, "People say economy is the most important thing for me to talk about, but I think it's immigration." So interesting there that even though his campaign advisors were pushing for this, told him it's a good thing to do, Trump really just wanted to focus on immigration and attacking Harris rather than talking about the economy.
Yeah, he's going to do what he wants to do. There are people like Nikki Haley warning him, and other Republicans have to. Don't get too personal with her, because maybe that's going to backfire with suburban women or the few independents that are still out there. We've seen some of that kind of ramp up in the last couple of weeks.
We certainly have. And other people who were in the primaries against former President Donald Trump, including Vivek Ramaswamy, now also coming out and saying, look, let's just focus on policy. Let's keep this straight. You know, they feel that they do have the winning record on this. Trump feels that, you know, the way his administration ended, they have a way better platform to run on than Harris. But again, they keep going off track. Even Senator J.D. Vance, Trump's running mate, defended that yesterday, though, saying he'd rather have a candidate who is himself rather than one who just is parroting the message. So interesting there that there's a little bit of a rift forming where Republicans who want to win this election are asking Trump just to focus on the policies.
These new national polls that have her up a little bit, does that matter at all? Or really, are we still down to the handful of swing states? And Team Trump is going to say, it's always going to be close and polls haven't mattered. Look what we did back in 2016.
Oh, 100%. We are also so far away from this election. It feels like getting on the corner. It is, but a lot can happen in the next 80 some odd days. As we've experienced just in the last 6 weeks, there's been a lot of turnover, a lot of tumultuous headlines, and a lot of news coming out of it. So the Trump campaign says, look, there's a long time to go. It's a lot of ground game. They're viewing this as it's a base turnout game. They really feel that there's, you know, not a lot of swing voters in a lot of these states. People like to say there are independents. Sure, they're out there. But as far as people who are going to go to the polls, it's about turning out that base, making them invigorated. And that's also part of the reason why Trump is, you know, reverting back to old habits, attacking the media, attacking his opponents viciously, rather than talking about policy, because it is something that jives well with his base. It excites them, and they're enthusiastic about it. And so he's trying to match the Harris enthusiasm with his own base.
That is CBS campaign reporter Olivia Rinaldi. Now, the college president steps down over a big campus protest last spring in efforts to regulate AI in California. Face a make or break vote today. Coming up as 20 minutes of nonstop news continues.
Federal officials have reached deals with drug companies to lower the price of 10 of Medicare's most popular and costliest drugs. Health and Human Services Secretary Javier Becerra telling CNN they expect taxpayers to save $6 billion.
If you use the price that we got now as a result of negotiation and applied it to 2023, those same drugs, we would have save $6 billion in the Medicare program. And as you said, on top of that, because some Medicare beneficiaries have to pay out of pocket additionally, we would have saved them about, we could save them about $1.5 billion moving forward.
This will impact the price of drugs that help to manage diabetes, blood cancers, prevent heart failure, blood clots, and new prices, though, won't go into effect until 2026.
Do you trust the reviews when you're shopping online? There's a new effort to go after the fake ones. You'd think this sort of thing would already be in place, but the FTC has announced rules that ban testimonials written by people who have not used a product or who were paid to say positive things or were written by AI. Companies will also be prohibited from paying people to write negative reviews about a product that comes from a competitor. They're also not supposed to exaggerate their influence by doing things like paying for bots to get more followers online. With the change, the FTC will be allowed to fine marketers who know they are posting fake content.
Bill, that could have a big impact on Silicon Valley's AI industry, facing a big vote in Sacramento. Measure which would regulate the development and use of AI to protect the public is passed out of the Senate. It's going to be taken up in some committees in the Assembly. Can't move forward unless they also pass it and approve money that's needed to fund it. Bill's backed by a lot of consumer groups, but really opposed by the industry, big companies like Meta and Google.
Columbia University's president has resigned. The school in Upper Manhattan got a lot of attention this year after some student protests, and there were police that came in. It was happening across the country. We know what happened at UCLA, happened there at Columbia as well. And they acknowledge the campus protests factored into the decision to resign. This Columbia student, who is Jewish, says the timing is not helpful.
To do this only 2 weeks before we return back to campus is only going to make that sense of insecurity become more real and grow exponentially. And I just feel like we're thrust into a situation in which we're really in a state of chaos.
The announcement came after the school confirmed that three deans had resigned after officials said they exchanged disparaging texts during a campus talk about Jewish life and anti-Semitism.
New round of these ceasefire negotiations getting underway over the war in Gaza. Despite the Hamas leaders not going to the talks, Iran also still vowing to attack Israel in retaliation for the death of a Hamas leader in Tehran. If there's a ceasefire deal, it could delay that. Dan Byman is with the Center for Strategic and International Studies, talking with CBS.
Hamas, of course, wants Israel to withdraw from Gaza and end its military operations. And it sees the remaining Israeli hostages that it has as its key bargaining chip. For Israel, it's flipped. It wants the ability to do continued military operations against Hamas. It wants to keep some military presence in Gaza. But of course, its priority is getting its hostages back.
Two sides divided over the details of the hostage exchange, including who among the Palestinian prisoners would be eligible for release.
An exhibit opens this weekend in Culver City that recreates the day Hamas terrorists attacked the Nova Festival in Israel. Karen Adams got a preview.
The exhibition uses items from the actual festival, the burned-out cars, the tents, and personal belongings of the people there, and the bullet-riddled bathroom stalls to tell what happened that day.
We start off from when the party was stopped by missiles, and that's the moment the music stopped, and that's the moment the horror began.
Elon Factor helped to bring the items here to the U.S. There is a memorial wall with the pictures of the more than 400 people killed at the festival that day as they ran for their lives, others taken as hostages. At the end of the exhibit, a healing tent with the words, "We will dance again." Danielle escaped the terror with her sister. I asked her what message she wants people to take away from this exhibition.
First of all, the light. I think even though it's very dark here, all the darkness, the physical darkness and the mental darkness, I think that we all have felt since and we're still feeling, and I think that we're gonna feel it forever, but still so much light that we have together as a community, as a family.
The exhibition premiered in Tel Aviv, then moved to New York before coming here. Proceeds go to help the survivors heal. I'm Karen Adams, KNX News 97.1 FM.
20 minutes of nonstop news. Everybody on the bus. Vice President Harris and running mate Tim Walz are going to kick off a bus tour in Pittsburgh this weekend. Tour expected to make a bunch of stops around Pennsylvania, one of the must-win states, pretty much before going to the National Convention for the Democrats in Chicago. We talked to Pennsylvania Capital Star editor Kim Lyons.
So the campaign says it has, what, 36 coordinated offices, nearly 300 staffers on the ground, thousands of volunteers who have signed up. What is this going to look like as they take this bus tour through the state?
Yeah, we're still waiting to hear exactly where the stops are going to be. We know they're going to start in Pittsburgh in the western end of the state. And I think they're going to see probably enthusiastic crowds along the way. There's been a lot of momentum for the Harris campaign since she became the top of the ticket. In Pennsylvania, there's been a lot of excitement. There was a lot of conversation, obviously, with our governor up for a potential spot as her running mate, which obviously didn't pan out. But there's still a lot of momentum, a lot of excitement. And I think people really want to hear from both Harris and Tim Walz about what they're planning for Pennsylvania.
She's in that honeymoon period, no doubt. Is her past at all going to come back to haunt her? Lots made about how she wanted to ban fracking. She was big on climate change when running for president 4 years ago. She doesn't talk too much about that kind of stuff now. Trump campaign keeps calling her a flip-flopper. But, I mean, honestly, politicians do that all the time.
Yeah, that is part of politics, right? Politics 101 is to call your opponent a flip-flopper. I will tell you that the national focus on fracking seems to be a little more intense than the conversations on the ground here. There isn't overwhelming support among people in Western Pennsylvania for fracking. Obviously, it's a divisive issue. It potentially means a lot of jobs at stake, but it is not quite the hot button issue that I think maybe is being portrayed at the national level. On the ground here, it's a little bit more, there are a lot of people who are opposed to it for, you know, pollution reasons, for concerns about whether fracking companies and natural gas companies are good neighbors. So I think that it's one of those issues that has some nuance. And I think until her position is pretty clearly defined, it's pretty probably smart not to wade too deeply into it. But I do think she will have to address it pretty soon. In Pennsylvania.
The campaign has said the candidates will meet voters where they are, so in the community settings, maybe ice cream shops and diners, we'll see. But you mentioned that voters in Pennsylvania, they want to hear from the candidates, Harris and Walz. When you talk to people in these community settings, what do they want to hear about?
The main thing that we hear from people is they're concerned about the economy. Prices are up, things are expensive, they want to know what the plan is to help people, you know, address their costs, make sure they can pay their bills, pay for groceries and medications. And I think that's going to be a large part of the Harris-Walz economic agenda, you know, if they are really listening to these voters. They're really concerned about economic issues. They're also really concerned about reproductive rights. Obviously, Kamala Harris was out front of the Biden administration's sort of voice on reproductive rights after the Dobbs decision. So I think a lot of progressive voters, especially in Western Pennsylvania and in Philadelphia in the eastern part of the state, are really looking to hear what the campaign is going to say, if they're going to continue that messaging. But those are kind of the top two issues, you know, economic issues just really sort of trump everything else, no pun intended. You know, student loan debt is certainly a big part of that as well. So economic issues are really the biggest concern for a lot of people, especially among Democrats who are concerned about, you know, potential Trump return to office might mean for their, you know, their costs and their daily day-to-day expenses.
You've got some polling there that more women are siding with her rather than him.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? It's one of those things where, you know, it's maybe as expected. I think a lot of this short-term polling is kind of sort of getting caught up in that enthusiasm, right, of this new candidate, sort of energized Democrats. I will be interested to see, you know, after the convention, we'll probably expect a little bit of a bump as is tradition, right? But I will be interested to see if we get into September and these numbers kind of hold.
Kim Lyons with the Pennsylvania Capital Star.